Welcome to the TEDx Youth Wrigleyville podcast, Youth American Style. I'm your host, Ann Johnsos. Annika Lisberg is a professor in the Department of Biological Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Her TEDx talk focused on STEM and a boot camp she founded. In her sidebar, she explained why the process of teaching STEM needs to change and how dogs really communicate.
What's your first memory?
A very creepy Santa Claus situation. I think I was like 3 or something, and I don't remember anything about it other than there were a lot of colors.
So did Santa terrify you?
Probably. Probably. I really don't remember what it was. I just remember it being a lot.
What motivates you?
I think what motivates me is I don't like not feeling like I'm helping something or doing something and being helpful in some way, I guess. I think there are a lot of ways that you can make progress in the world, and I don't like choosing one path either. I really like having balance in my life and doing a lot of different things.
So one of your things is STEM. Why do you think there is a lack of representation in STEM?
I think part of it is how we teach STEM. I think we don't teach STEM as a method of understanding the world until you're so far along and you're already sold on it by then if you're going to be.
So how would you like to see it taught?
I would like to see it taught process first. I think that it's one thing to say, here's a thing we know and just believe me, which is very anti-science. You know, I mean, our true scientific brain is not happy with that answer. So if we talk about how we know what we know and why, and if we at the same time encourage more use of the scientific process to explore our world in safe ways and in supported ways, it helps, I think, show why some pieces of evidence have more weight than others and why it's fair to believe this thing and to trust this thing because we know where it came from. So maybe it's sometimes telling the stories of the scientists who discovered it. Maybe it's helping the students be scientists. I think there's a lot of ways to do it.
And humanizing the scientists, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
I could totally get into that. Mm-hmm. How is your life different from the way you imagined it?
I don't know that I was ever very specific about how I imagined my life. I always had a plan or an idea. And when I was very little, I was going to open a zoo like down the block from my house so that I could close it for lunch and go home and hang out with the family. So that did not happen. But a lot of the pieces that I think I loved then, I've been able to incorporate in some way. I think the surprising thing for me are the people that are in my life.
How so?
More varied and just more of them than I think I could have ever imagined.
You mentioned working with dogs.
Yeah.
So going from the zoo...
Sure.
That you didn't open.
Right.
You still managed to get some animals in there. What do you do with animals?
Sure. I worked with a lot of animals. In my master's, I studied beetles. And then for my PhD, I moved into studying chemical communication in dogs. So it's a very glamorous life of collecting, you know, urine samples from dogs, but trying to figure out how they're talking to each other and how they communicate with this method.
So you can understand when I'm walking my dog, what makes her stop and smell?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. They're a lot more selective, I think, than we think. We just notice how many times we have to stop, but it seems that there's a more selection about when they're going to really pay attention and when they're going to countermark or not. They're a lot more sort of conservative about those things or selective about those things than we think, or than it seems from our perspective.
Because seriously, it seems like there's a lot of sniffing. Yeah.
There's also a lot of urine.
Okay, so we're talking about the next generation. We're talking about the future. We're talking about what we want the world to look like.
Yeah.
What advice would you have, or what do you wish for the future?
I wish that we could understand the limitations of our own perspective. I don't think there's any way to not have those limitations. You can't imagine every scenario. But to first at least acknowledge that we have those limitations goes a long way to empathy and to making connections and being open to new ideas and experiences too.
Do you think there's a way that we can learn to, in journalism they say, acknowledge your bias, because everyone has bias. And once you acknowledge it, you can work within it. Do you think we can get beyond our own limited perspectives?
Yes. I think that's, I hope so. Yeah. I think it takes a lot of experiences, and it's hard to know how to give those kinds of experiences to everyone, especially, you know, again, we're a big country and there's a lot of variation out there and a lot of isolation. But I think there's a point at which you've seen enough perspectives that you start to finally generalize and be like, I don't know what this person's story is, but I'm pretty sure I don't know it. And at least you have that.
And then maybe ask questions.
Hopefully, yes. Yeah.
Thanks again to Annika Lisberg for joining us on the TEDx Youth Wrigleyville podcast, Youth American Style. For more podcasts about youth and ways to guide them, please check out my other podcast, Apparently, a-parent-lee, on iTunes and at wgnradio.com.